A Family Man's Tale by Tranquil Tavine. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling.
Chapter 8. Vernon Dursley and the Old One Too. 7 years since the beginning of Harry's adventures. 7 years, its various twists and turns bringing one thing after another. It had aged Vernon, sporting a significant number of well-maintained gray hairs, paired with laugh lines that had etched their way into his skin. They intertwined with other emotive paths, telling the ongoing tale of a life well-lived and hard-fought. Vernon sat in Hogwarts's great hall among allies, holding his modified shotgun tighter. While doing so, the sleeve of his basilisk battle robes rippled, a cool sheen beneath solemn candlelight. It was a recent wardrobe addition, the material fluid, freeing, and modestly hinting at his gained muscles. The bench he sat on creaked with a familiar weight, one detectable without magic.
"Lost in thought again?" Harry asked.
Vernon's eyes fixated on emerald ones that were more troubled than he would ever wish to see.
"I'm finding it difficult not to be,"
Vernon admitted, glancing down at himself.
"Yeah. Some innocence remaining, but reality their shadow. It's the waiting, not knowing when. The only thing I'm happy about is at least how prepared we are."
In reply, Vernon nodded, slipping into thought once more. Professor Snape brought a message from Voldemort to Hogwarts 3 days ago warning of an impending attack. The outcome was a mass evacuation, compulsory for those under 16. As a group, they remained untouched, but the powerful wizard's anger had spilled, flowing to Muggle streets through the fingertips of Azkaban escapees. A few months ago, Vernon discovered the locket retrieved from the cave was fake, but not long after, they discovered that Sirius's brother Regulus and Creature placed it there. Though Grimald Place was in his name, Sirius had yet to set foot there. As a test, to check if he was still alive, he summoned the elf. Sirius's discussions with Vernon and a mind healer enabled him to navigate the situation more effectively. He proposed that Creature could have Regulus's diary if he gave him the genuine locket. Thus, they destroyed it. Following this event, Dumbledore was refreshingly frank. Through order meetings and combined teamwork, most followed the locket and its demise. The idea horrified Vernon of Harry being a Horcrux. To deal with the curse that ran almost bone deep, they used a combination of surgery and magic. They removed the cursed flesh and performed skin grafts, while a few drops of basilisk venom rendered the source no more. All that remained was Nagini. And now the moment that Vernon suspected may happen was finally upon them. Despite his initial doubts about the wizarding world, he never could have imagined what they were facing now. Every consolidated alliance could be found either within these ancient walls or outside, blending into the ground shadows, or much further away, waiting at number 4 Privet Drive.
"You're right," Vernon murmured,
forcibly bringing himself back to the present.
"I only wish I knew it would happen."
"We'll win,"
Hermione interjected confidently, joining them on the bench, her brown bushy hair tied into a tight ponytail. Ron came over and sat beside her. His freckles stood out starkly, fiery flecks against ice and brows drawn determinedly.
"We have to. Our future depends on it."
No sooner had Ron said this than an alarm blared through the great hall. It pierced the ears of every human and non-human present, its loudness startling, but each aware of what that meant. As one, dozens of eyes gravitated to Dumbledore. A shimmer lay within his current aura, and even those not quite as in touch with magic could sense it harmonizing with Hogwarts and spreading outward in tangible ripples. Just as Vernon's physical changes over the years represented his silent story, he could say the same of Dumbledore. Externally, there was very little change, but those who knew him best saw that internal transformation.
"You all know what that sound represents,"
Dumbledore started gravely, his rune-lined robes wafting in the magic-made breeze.
"I cannot guarantee that we will be victorious on this day. However, What I can guarantee is that Voldemort will expect an easy fight. And I know every single one of you will test them to their very limits. What does a power-driven man know of teamwork, friendship, or love? Nothing. And that will be his downfall.
Dumbledore's words lingered, and everyone from centaur to human absorbed them, their impact materializing through burning gazes. After a long pause, the aged wizard continued,
"As I once heard a friend of mine say, let's give them the old one too."
As Vernon straightened to attention, half-moon spectacled eyes somehow found his own amid the crowd, and despite his prior seriousness, the biggest smile most had seen from him gently blossomed across a face which expressed tales as old as time. During the evening, Hogwarts was often such a busy, vibrant place, cheerful chatter and delicious aromas intermingling in the ancient, charged air. But today the chatter was scarce, the spiciest of foods seeming bland. Most there couldn't taste beyond their own nervousness focused on what was to come. While there was no natural order to who left the room first, Harry and Vernon found themselves towards the front. Vernon was determined not to be a liability despite his lack of magic, learning how to do more with his shotgun other than perfecting the shot, not to mention the liberal use of shrinking charms on his clothes once more after many rounds of physical training. He liked to think of his current state as a little chunky but funky. A chilling blast of Scotland winds forced his wandering mind back to the present again, further reinforced by metallic masks glinting beneath sunlight. They now stood close to the Forbidden Forest, a perfect hiding place. While their enemy stood unmoving, those with and without masks watched every step taken until only 5 feet separated them. And there at the front, as expected, was Lord Voldemort. Waxy, translucent skin stretched tightly over his deformed skull, crimson eyes floating in their sockets. Clothed in black, flowing robes as though stolen from stormy skies, there was no hint of fireplace comfort on a rainy day in their depths, only promises of pain. Vernon noted he commanded a similar presence as Dumbledore, though fear and bloodlust fueled his minions rather than respect and free will. Voldemort inhaled, his nostril slits dilating. His gaze glided over Dumbledore and Vernon, lingering for a long while on Harry. But then they returned to Vernon and widened, a lightning flash of surprise appearing before it was soon gone.
"My loyal subjects," Voldemort uttered, his voice a thousand icy fingers brushing down Vernon's spine. "It seems we have a filthy muggle in our midst."
A curly-haired witch cackled, twirling her wand with expert precision.
"Oh, what fun! Can I play with him, Master?"
"I highly doubt he will last 5 seconds, Bellatrix. What can a muggle do against us? But if so, you may."
Voldemort gave Vernon the once-over, and suddenly cold, high-pitched laughter rang through the air. It was only upon hearing their master that the others gathered there joined in, Bellatrix gleefully so. Their mockery jabbed at Vernon, pinprick sharp, but he stood strong, reminding himself of all that he'd achieved while a part of this world. Why should he listen to their disbelief when surrounded by people who believed in him? Drawing on the strength from those around him, Vernon straightened, silent and unwavering until their laughter gradually dissipated. He met Voldemort's gaze, biting back the urge to avert his eyes from such crimson intensity.
"So, what say you, Muggle? Are you here to kill us, or just to stand there, cheering on your betters?"
While Vernon could sense Harry was ready to snap back at them on his behalf, he wouldn't allow some upstarts to undermine him.
"I'm here to put an end to this," Vernon retorted. "To all the chaos you lot revel in. Be damned who gets caught in the aftermath."
Voldemort said nothing in response, his gaze sliding over to Harry.
"For one still in Hogwarts education, do you really think that you stand a chance against me? You have but a mere fraction of my power."
There's only one way to find out, Harry shot back, lightning fast to match his sudden spellfire. Within seconds, a colorful array of ozone-tinged lights surrounded Vernon. Several solid stone structures pushed their way through crumbling earth, the sun overhead peeking between clouds. Confused about where they'd come from, he had very little time to ponder as he glimpsed Dumbledore, the man drawing Voldemort away. His aura was a far cry from the grandfatherly, slightly eccentric individual that most there knew. Perhaps instead of targeting a teenager, you can duel someone who is currently more than your match. Preying upon the weaker is not a sign of strength, Tom. Rather, it is cowardice, a fear of failure.
Shut it,
the serpentine man hissed, reflecting the reptile he resembled as his wand slashed harshly through the air, as two of the greatest wizards known to this world crossed wands. They fiercely exchanged spells at an alarming rate. Vernon ducked behind one of the stone covers, his shotgun in hand and fully loaded. Resting atop his battle robes were extra ammo, regular bullets separated from magic-laden ones. His left side against the stonework and peering around to check what lay in front of him, Vernon quickly rolled from one stone cover to the next, missing a well-aimed Avada Kedavra that blew its target to smithereens.
I'll get you, Muggle!
One Death Eater roared, sprinting towards him and spitting out incantations. Knowing that this would put all his training to the test, he side-rolled to the next cover, granting better access to his target. Though chaos reigned, Vernon focused solely on him. Stunning magic hid inside his special bullets. Upon contact with an organic target, it would shatter, releasing the spell. Just before Vernon fired his shot, something powerful brushed by and disrupted his aim. As a result, he missed, the bullet heading a different course than intended.
Shit,
Uncle V cursed, determined not to miss this time. Taking advantage of his opponent's momentary confusion at his weapon of choice, he acted.
Take this!
And with that, the second shot hit home. Red obscured Vernon's vision and, as it faded, left behind a stunned Death Eater. A shaggy black head of familiar hair jogged over to join him seconds later, dogged delightedness in his expression.
All right, Vernon,
Sirius grinned, his eyes alight with adrenaline and senses attuned as, without a glance, he incapacitated one Death Eater.
I'll be better when this is over. Then I can have a cup of tea and chocolate digestive biscuits,
Vernon joked back, internally amazed he could do so given what faced them right now. Shortly after Remus skidded over, the ground slick with something that Vernon wished not to know as the heavens opened up above. While crouched, Sirius raised his arms amid the downpour, slapping wetly against his sides upon lowering them.
For fuck's sake, really? Merlin's saggy scrout!
Heavy rain soaked through Vernon's hair, slicking it back away from his eyes. It was a curious sensation, his exposed skin drenched and yet sliding harmlessly off everything else. Thank magic for repelling charms. At the pained scream hacking through moist air, Vernon looked behind him to witness a horrifying sight. None of those watching alongside Vernon knew whether the victim was friend or foe, but enormous claws slicing through robed flesh like a hot knife to butter caused that question asked by many to die. Picked up and shaken like a rag doll, he was callously tossed away as fresh blood showered the sodden grass. Several feet separated this creature from where Vernon, Sirius dried from paws bigger than tractor wheels, more than enough to close the distance. Vernon opened and closed his mouth, no sound escaping his quivering lips at first.
What in blazes is that?
He eventually wheezed out, his blue eyes bulging in terror. At first he hadn't realized he'd spoken aloud, having a somewhat out-of-body experience and unable to believe something so monstrous had entered the battlefield.
Manticore,
Hermione stammered, Vernon not noticing that she and Ron joined their impromptu team until now.
A class 5 magical creature and incredibly rare. It's so violent that the Ministry has lost dozens trying to capture one for study, so they've left them alone. But something must have disturbed it.
The 5 moved to cover, crouching down behind more stone barriers that had broken their way through the earth.
How the bloody hell do we stop one of those things?
Ron exclaimed, his voice cracking hysterically.
Look at the size of it!
It must be at least 10 feet long!
The scorpion tail is highly resistant to magic, but their partly human faces are vulnerable to physical attacks, Remus explained.
I would propose a distraction. Though most magic is ineffective, it'll be enough for heavy hitters to strike.
Vernon thought deeply, the shotgun's weight in his clammy grasp more significant than ever before.
When you say physical attacks, would bullets work?
Not expecting Vernon's suggestion, Remus blinked rapidly, the cogs turning within his mind.
I can't say for certain. There are texts from long ago speaking of heroes defeating such creatures with swords or bows and arrows, but guns?
Remus fell silent, Ron hesitantly picking up the conversation.
Can't we just try? I mean, what other option have we got? Ron!
Hermione squeaked, viciously squeezing his shoulder.
The manticore will head straight for him if he does that!
Sirius, uncharacteristically, addressed Vernon with the utmost seriousness.
This is your call. That shotgun is one advantage we've got in this fight. There's a chance that it won't work, but no matter the outcome, the rest of us will provide backup, right?
As three simultaneous nods followed those words, a sixth voice joined them.
You can count me in too.
Crouching by Vernon's side, Harry's hair was more wayward than usual. A few shallow grazes marked his face, but he remained unbothered, his steady confidence and presence the uplift Vernon didn't realize he needed. As the manticore let out an almighty roar, the group collectively winced once ear-shattering screams pierced their already sensitive ears. What was the sense of waiting for someone else to act? Dumbledore, to his knowledge, was still engaged with Voldemort and glancing over at the ongoing destruction. No one else on either side seemed to have a plan. That was all Vernon needed. As his eyes narrowed with steely resolve, those gathered there were aware of his answer before the man voiced it verbally.
Let's do this!
Because of the carnage, the manticore was given a wide berth, enough for the six to take up their positions. Sirius, Ron, and Harry would provide the distractions, standing behind Vernon but spaced out enough to maneuver. Remus and Hermione would defend, taking positions at the back.
On the count of three, Vernon called out,
his voice fading into the many battle cries.
One, two, three.
A rainfall of chained spells pelted the monster's coarse coat. As theorized, it was enough to enrage it. As the manticore charged with more speed than they expected, time seemed to slow down for Vernon, and a deep sense of calm washed his senses. The manticore's twisted face drew closer, lion-like teeth shining in its maw. Doing his best to breathe evenly despite the fear coursing through his system and knowing what damage it would cause, Vernon steadied his gun. He took a deep breath, and then he fired. When two twin physical bullets exited their chambers, whizzing through the drizzly air, the results were devastating. Flesh, brain matter, bone, and blood splashed the already slick ground. Even through the heavy rain and sun setting, those gathered there saw that a sizable chunk was missing from the manticore's head. Amid charging Vernon, the impact altered its course, losing footing and skidding across the wet ground. Quickly, Vernon darted away, watching its tail violently cut through the atmosphere, many unable to avoid its destructive path and either crushed beneath its body or thrown by the whip-lashing tail. It hit a rocky jut which launched it skywards. Then, upon landing and rolling a few more feet, it laid still.
Well, that takes care of that, Sirius breathed,
blinking away rain and amazed at the path of destruction left in its wake. Vernon shook away the haze, unable to believe what he'd just done, but telling himself that this was something to reflect on after they all got out of this alive. The six huddled together behind stone coverings. Each shared a nod, returning to the fray amid an endless light show. With moves often seen in action films, Vernon quickly checked the area in front of him, vaulting over the stone barrier with one hand, the other armed. Upon landing and seeing the crowd of friend and foe had dispersed, the telltale glinting masks and black robes almost called to him in that moment. Intending on heading in that direction, a flash of red filled his peripheral vision, and instinctively, he ducked.
Come out to play, little muggle,
the curly-haired witch cackled, eyes alight with manic enjoyment. A series of nonverbal spells joined the last, intricately chained together as it forced Vernon into defending and dodging. Upon another frenzied Crucio cast, in a last-second move, Vernon held his shotgun shield-like, blocking the spell.
It vibrated the weapon, the sensation stirring painful pinpricks through his hands, but he refused to let go. Not expecting the reflecting attack, and already in the middle of another spell, it was too late for Bellatrix Lestrange to avoid her own Crucio. Sickeningly, she smiled, the red haze surrounding her rapidly dissipating as a cracked moan left parched lips curving into a malicious grin.
"Oh, you'll pay for that."
Vernon had his sights on the other Death Eater group, who, drawn closer to where he could see someone facing them alone, he had to help them. So with great bravado and a dash of chocolate digestive biscuit energy, two more magic bullets materialized in their chambers.
"Not today, bitch!" Vernon cried.
While physical bullets needed loading, magical ones would automatically materialize in their chambers with a hand touch. And by God, he was going to use that now. As Vernon engaged in a spot of running and gunning, the twin stunning spells fired in rapid succession were enough to distract his opponent, one grazing her arm as she collapsed, stunned. In his childlike heart, Vernon hoped he looked as cool as he felt in that moment. Narrowly avoiding a series of chained spells by sliding beneath them, then once more struggling to his feet, Vernon's heart thumped away within his chest, palms slick with sweat. Within his peripheral vision, Vernon spotted something large and incredibly hairy heading in his path from the left. With how many legs combined and the way it scuttled, Vernon knew exactly what it was. Brows furrowed in determination and mustache bristling with uncle bravado, he couldn't slow his pace enough in time to avoid crashing into the acromantula, so he improvised. Preparing himself to leap and taking advantage of his forward momentum, he safely jumped over, landing crouched. Then he headed to his destination.
"Dursley,"
Snape addressed him casually yet coolly upon his arrival, black oily hair ensnared in violent winds.
"Come to witness these utter imbeciles?"
"Oh, shut it!"
one masked Death Eater snapped, irritated.
"Traitors make me sick! Your lack of dress sense makes me sick!"
Vernon butted in, gearing for a fight.
"Why not wear a nice suit, you scruffy little lout?"
Vernon almost swore he heard a faint snort of amusement.
"You what?"
the lout yelled, face reddening beneath a blood-stained mask.
"Get him, boys!"
Before any of them could do so, an enraged cry entered their space.
"Dursley!"
Vernon snapped his head away, homing in on one very familiar man, McNair. He would never forget what that man did to his son.
"Finally, I've got you where I want you,"
he spat, flecks of saliva intermingling with his soaked robes.
"All this time I've been waiting, waiting to do you in. I'll make you pay."
With half his mask cracked and missing, the other showcasing a macabre canvas of blood, skin stained, and an ashy curved wand raised in preparation to cast. However, before being able to utter a single syllable, an almighty roar shook the ground that they stood on. The vibrating footfalls, which drew his gaze towards the Forbidden Forest, almost disrupted Vernon's balance. Trees that once tickled the skyline toppled like matchsticks, against that framed in hues of orange and red. While the rain lessened, a chilling breeze picked up, whipping robes and hair alike. Though what Vernon saw in that picture frame of fallen and standing trees almost gave him a case of brown battle robes. A giant, who must be at least 20 feet tall, left gargantuan imprints behind. Collapsed trees surrounded him, stray leaves and debris almost tauntingly swirling around. No sooner had Vernon registered that a giant was in their midst than it closed the distance between them with a single stride.
"I believe that this is the distantly related cousin that Hagrid mentioned," Snape commented, looking unfazed despite the situation.
"One hell of a cousin,"
Vernon thought, gulping when realizing he only came up to the creature's shins. With his shotgun raised just in case, the giant promptly ignored Vernon, picking up the cluster of Death Eaters as if they were children's toys. With an impressive underarm throw that would break many a human record, their unexpected helper flung them an impressive distance into the lake, yells gradually fading to nothing and splashes a mere pebble drop. The giant thumped his hairy chest triumphantly.
"Big fun! Me go skull some crushes!"
And with that, paying Snape and Vernon no mind, the giant stomped into the fray, leaving impressive footed dents in his wake. Well, bucker. It looked like bollock kicking round two was off the cards. Before you leave, Snape spoke moments later, glancing to his side a little way ahead. Nagini is dead. Miss Granger's spell work was adequate enough that the dear, he sneered, Dark Lord, is now as normal as the rest of us. Vernon followed his gaze, noting the severed head and winced a little. That meant they could finally finish this. The wind lessened. In its place, fights drew to a close. The moon now hung almost innocently above, dimly illuminating echoes of what would remain long after this day ended. Surveying the field, friend and foe were unconscious, injured, or dead. He only hoped that it was Voldemort's side who'd suffered that sort of fate. As though the thought of him called Vernon's attention, he heard a very familiar voice with unfamiliar screams. Vernon felt like someone had drenched him in a cold bucket of ice water when he realized what that sound was, Harry. Immediately Vernon ran, his aches and pains nothing to the spike rammed through his heart at those agonizing sounds, and once drawing closer, across the immense footprints in the war-torn ground, Harry lay on the wet grass several feet in front of him, body writhing in agony. Voldemort stood over him, yellowed teeth bared in a satisfied grin as a light erupted from his wand. It was a twisted, horrible crimson, a color straight from hell. And it held not a candle to the red that then filled Vernon's eyes. Gone was the surrounding carnage, his worries for the future, everything which was otherwise plaguing him. All that mattered right now was his son. Holstering his shotgun and preparing himself, Vernon leapt over one footprint dent, going around the next where, in his rage, he chose a more physical approach. Balling up his fists tightly like a provoked bull, he charged the sinuous lord. Closing the distance at an impressive rate, he didn't think, he just acted. Taking one muscly fist and clenching it even tighter, Voldemort's twisted expression met Vernon's own, where he drew back, punching the wizard in his face. Met with the satisfying crack of what bones he had left in his nose region, pure adrenaline lit Vernon's system.
I'll teach you not to use bloody torture spells on my son, you pathetic, withered nincompoop!
Vernon continued his attack. Before Voldemort could process anything, the protective uncle's body slammed him, knocking him to the floor, where he followed up with, this time, a rear slam. In that commotion, despite every nerve ending wanting to tear themselves out of him, Harry scrabbled for his wand.
Expelliarmus!
As Voldemort's wand flew from his grasp, Vernon caught it in one bloodied fist, snapping it much like kindling. A shockwave erupted from Voldemort, blasting Vernon several feet away, where he rolled to a stop on his back. Winded and seeing stars, he blinked, and in that split second, Voldemort loomed above him. Sickening, foul blood dripped onto Vernon's lips, fighting back the urge to vomit. It didn't smell like when he'd cut his finger or another minor graze. It was almost like petrol, a toxic, overwhelming sound that burned his nose. Thunder rumbled, lightning flashing and briefly illuminating Voldemort.
For a disgusting, filthy muggle, you're foolishly brave. But what will that amount to when I torture and kill all of your friends?
The wizard circled Vernon's prone body, who strangely felt no fear. Only a bone-deep anger and desire to protect.
But first,
Voldemort flexed his waxy, spindly fingers.
I think it's about time you had a taste of what your betters can do.
Before Vernon could open his mouth to answer the asked question, the same crimson light that coated Harry lit Vernon's nerves for the first time.
No!
Harry screamed, anguish and boyish terror in his eyes. Of all the things in this world to experience, he never wanted his uncle to know the pain of this curse. Vernon had once had a lung infection. He'd also broken bones, both of which had their own pain. But this was beyond anything he'd experienced before. He felt as though his nerves were guitar strings, and someone was plucking each one violently, creating a sadistic melody that ricocheted through his insides. The worst part of it all was feeling each string, every pain note individualized rather than all at once. Vernon couldn't scream, breathless, open-mouthed, and unable to utter a sound. The only relief that he had was his mind. Harry once told him about occlumency, quickly realizing that it was meditation, While he wasn't the type to sit atop mountains on a spring day and sort thoughts, he knew he had to keep his focus on what mattered. If not, he feared what might happen. Using willpower uncles across the world possessed, he tried with all his might to focus on Harry, Petunia, Dudley, all the new friends he'd made over the years, and how it had been some of the happiest times of his life. He thought about future grandchildren, taking them to Quidditch games, reading them stories. He thought about his family tale, the one he'd been telling, and the parts that had yet to be written. Vernon opened his eyes, a single tear leaking from the corner of one. While Voldemort believed it was pain and suffering, that one droplet held all the love for his family. He had a renewed focus. His mind right now was his own. His shotgun dug into his back, the mild discomfort invisible compared to right now. If he could just somehow hold it again.
Oi, Voldy!
Harry's taunting cry cut through the Crucio, the noise enough to break Voldemort's attention. He turned away to face the teen, hissing in annoyance and carelessly firing a sickly green spell. This was Vernon's chance. So, gritting his teeth and willing his body to cooperate, Vernon's trembling hands gripped his shotgun, its cool metal soothing against the severe aftershocks. Sitting on the ground and lacking strength to stand right now, in the time that his eyes had clenched closed from the pain, overhead clouds cleared enough for moonlight to illuminate their surroundings. The first thing he saw was Harry, something dimly glittering in the moonlight. Then a bright ball of light burst from his wand, reflecting off of something and shining right in Voldemort's eyes. In his hazy, pain-infused mind, it clicked. The watch he'd given Harry.
Potter!
From his position, Vernon shakily loaded two bullets. He fired, misjudging the distance, where they instead ripped through the bones and tendons of Voldemort's foot. Vernon knew that this injury could be temporary, as he'd witnessed healing magic, but they had to take this chance.
Harry!
Vernon cried, while Voldemort was reeling from shattered bone and torn flesh. Harry sprinted over to Vernon's side, skidding in the moisture and hurriedly helping him up. Though Vernon needed to lean on Harry some, the two stood strong, facing one of the greatest threats of wizarding kind.
Let's end this together, Harry! 1, 2, 3!
Simultaneously, Voldemort's foot was a gradually changing yet pulsating mass, a deadly green light coating his fingertips. Stretching one spindly arm out, he cried,
Avada Kedavra!
The second he did, Harry's bombarda and Vernon's bullets whistled through the air. The lines of magic and non-magic were very distinct, few willing to mix the two. But what happened on this night would answer the questions that those curious people had asked. What would happen with spells versus bullets? As the killing curse grew ever closer, Vernon's bullets passed straight through, carving the spell into two separate beams. Instinctively, Vernon ducked, bringing Harry with them as they sailed overhead. Vernon's bullets were a mere millisecond ahead of Harry's, impacting Voldemort's chest and ripping it clean open. As blood showered the already painted grass, Harry's exploding charm followed, impacting the same wound and blasting it open further. Waxy, drawn skin somehow paled more, losing strength and collapsing backwards. Harry with Vernon hobbled over, cautiously staring down. As awareness faded from Voldemort's eyes, that same toxic blood ran in rivulets passing thin lips. Vernon felt no joy, only grim satisfaction, as the last words Voldemort heard rang in husk-like ears.
That's what a muggle can do.
Surrounding sounds steadily encroached Vernon's senses. His focus was on one thing only for minutes now, but swiftly, the rush of blood, ozone, and debris vastly overpowered the tremors in his weary body. Was it over?
Shit! Shit! Let's get out of here!
A Death Eater cried, a shaky, blood-stained finger pointing near them.
My lord is dead!
Not today, I'm afraid. Dumbledore swept onto the scene, looking slightly worse for wear. Without so much as a hand twitch, the rabble close to Vernon and Harry were silently bound by a golden rope entwined with magic. Thankfully, the Ministry had spared quite a few Aurors to help with Hogwarts' defense, knowing they would be next if all failed. They made many on-the-spot arrests, most of them repeated. Some chose to flee, risking the Forbidden Forest's dangers in order to apparate away from protected grounds.
We did it, Harry murmured, unable to believe it was over.
Yes, we did,
Vernon cried triumphantly, what little adrenaline he had left keeping him peppy and standing. Slinging an arm around his nephew's shoulder and squeezing tightly, Vernon found himself choked up.
I'm so proud of you, Harry.
I'm proud of you too, Harry smiled, squeezing the hand on his shoulder. We'd better see if the others are all right. Though there were many injuries that had to be treated, no one had lost their life. Those gathered acknowledged the weight of what they had achieved together despite their tiredness. Vernon and Harry, once cleaning up and changing into a new set of robes, immediately headed back to No. 4 Privet Drive. Through the flu network, the pair arrived in a soot cloud to Petunia and Dudley, stiffly sitting in the living room with a tense, afraid atmosphere.
Hi,
Harry greeted them awkwardly, not sure what to say in such a situation. Dudley was the first to move, the relief coming from him in tangible waves.
Dad! Harry!
Springing up from his chair, he bolted over, throwing his arms around the pair and crushing them.
I'm glad you're alive,
Dudley muttered, appreciative that they made no comments on his vocal gruffness.
Me too,
Harry replied weakly, his voice cracking as emotion overcame him for a second. Vernon embraced his two boys, looking over Dudley's shoulder into the teary eyes of his beloved wife.
I'm home, Petunia. We're home.
Frozen, unable to believe her eyes and thinking the worst, so many thoughts ran through her scattered mind. What would she say to Lily once it was her time if Harry was gone? What would she do without Vernon? Standing up shakily, Petunia joined in, unable to vocalize much of what she wished would leave her lips, but let the surprising strength contained within her arms do most of the talking. Except for something that Harry would remember always.
I'm so glad you're both safe. I love you.
Harry's heart stopped, then started again. His aunt wasn't one to show or express affection towards him like his uncle or even Dudley, in his own awkward teenage way. So this moment really showed how far they'd come.
I love you too, Harry whispered,
losing the strength in his voice that his embrace made up for.
That's my nephew,
Uncle V squeezed him tightly.
Now off to bed with you. You look exhausted.
Harry stirred.
I am, but I'm just so happy to be home. Can we, watch TV for a bit?
Of course, Vernon beamed. Petunia, be a dear and put the kettle on. It's chalky bicky time.
As they settled on the couch together, Harry sighed blissfully.
You two are the best aunt and uncle ever.
Petunia is the best aunt in the universe. As for me,
he pulled them closer.
I'm just a family man.
For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit archiveofourown.com/users/tranquil_Tavine. First pass editing by Ohana. Music by Vincent Lopez and his Hotel Pennsylvania Orchestra, circa 1925, now in the public domain. If you would like to commission me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Patreon page, to which I hope you consider subscribing to support me, and my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.